From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Witness of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord Jesus Christ prepared His disciples for His departure from them through His crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, He gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is characterized as a witness. Indeed, as we've already seen, the Holy Spirit is the best possible witness, for His credentials are impeccable. As Dr. Cairns examines this subject, he will explain four aspects of the Spirit's witness to Christians. These include His witness to, with, in, and through the believer. Today he deals with the Holy Spirit's witness to the Christian. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question about how to deal with cults. The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
I'm sure everybody has had some cult or other visit them on their doorstep. Jehovah's Witnesses will come. Mormons will come. You wonder, how do I deal with these? Do I have to be an expert in all the intricacies of their strange doctrines in order to deal with them? Well, no, you don't. There are certain things that cults have in common. They don't necessarily hold all these things in common, and they may differ among themselves in how they even hold their heretical views. But first of all, cults will have some source of authority beside or beyond the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses will talk to you about the authority and the writings of Russell. Now, sometimes they'll try to hide that until they get you in, try to tell you they're very biblical till they get you in. But he is an authoritative figure there. The Mormons will have their Book of Mormon, and then they'll have the writings of Joseph Smith and some of their other founding fathers. The Seventh-day Adventists, they will have the writings of Ellen G. White. So you can look at these various cults, and they have some authority that's supposed to be divine revelation beside, apart from, or beyond the Bible. And all these authorities will contradict the Bible. No doubt about that. Most of the cults agree in denying the deity of Christ. And that's not true, for example, of the Seventh-day Adventists. But you get the Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to come talk to you about the meaning of the Hebrew word Sheol, or the Greek word Hades. They'll want to talk to you about the Hebrew and Greek terms for soul and spirit. Most of the people who come to your door can hardly read these things in English, never mind in Hebrew or Greek, but they'll want to bamboozle you with these things. The thing to do is ask them about Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. The Mormons deny it. Now, if they're wrong on Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what they've got to say about anything else. They're just plain wrong. There's no salvation in the so-called Jehovah's Witness religion, Russellism. There is no salvation there. There is no salvation in Mormonism. These are not Christian sects. They are unchristian, anti-Christian cults. It's a world of difference. There is no salvation in them if they deny that Jesus Christ is God. Most of them, therefore, in fact all of them, are going to have wrong views about the atonement of Jesus Christ. cults are ultimately legalistic in their doctrine of salvation, to a greater or lesser extent. And as I say, there's dispute even among the cults in this. They believe in salvation by works. Some will try to mix grace in. So in theological terms, they'd either be entirely Pelagian, that is, it's an entire merit-based religion of work salvation, or semi-Pelagian, which means that they propose a mixture of works and grace, what's called in theology synergism, man working with God for man's salvation. These are the marks of the cults. If you know the doctrine of the deity of Christ, of the blood atonement and redemption purchased by the blood of Christ, justification by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, then you know enough, first, to avoid the cults, and second, to be able to overthrow their arguments on these most basic and essential issues.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The subject of the witness of the Spirit, we may consider it in the following ways. We may try to get it into a manageable shape and size. Something like this. I think we could say that the Scripture speaks of the witness of the Spirit to the people of God. God's witness to the Christian. Then the Scriptures speak in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, of the Spirit's witness with the Christian. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Then the Scriptures speak of the Spirit's witness in the Christian. And finally, and very, very importantly, the Scriptures speak of the Spirit's witness through the Christian. Now, here are four ways in which we can consider the witness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to consider first that the Holy Spirit witnesses to the Christian. And here we're dealing generally with the theme of Revelation. Let's first come to what the Bible says before we make much comment upon it. Let's just get the biblical statement down first. We've read already in John's Gospel 15, verse 26, the words of the Lord Jesus, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now the force of the words is the witness of the Spirit to God's people. I will send the Spirit to you, and he shall witness. He shall testify, obviously, to you concerning me. We turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and in verse 15. 10th chapter of Hebrews, and verse 15. "Whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us." Now, I'm not wanting at this point in time to go into the context in Hebrews 10. That would take us too far afield. He's speaking of the once-for-all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and its perfect effects as ordained of God in the lives of the people of God. And he says, "Of these things, the Holy Spirit is a witness to us." We turn over to 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 6, we read, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Look at verse 9, and you'll see to whom this witness is given. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." If we receive. Obviously, the witness of the Spirit is to the people of God. Now, at this point, I don't want to go into these texts any more fully. The content of the Spirit's witness, as they describe it, is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm leaving that for the moment because that is going to have to be the subject of a message in its own right. It's much, much too large to be brought down to sub-point one of point one of one message. It can't be done. Let me get this just as a general statement of fact, however, that the great substance of the witness of the Holy Spirit is the glory of the person of Jesus Christ. The great subject upon which the Holy Spirit witnesses to his people is who Christ is, what Christ has done. And I want to make this absolutely clear, that where this is not the subject of any pulpit ministry, you can say the Holy Spirit is to that extent absent from that ministry. This is something that's so basic, and yet we need to get it. People imagine today that when the Holy Spirit is in a meeting and the Holy Spirit is in control of a man's ministry, he nearly becomes a clairvoyant. That's the evidence of the Spirit. As the charismatics say, he has certain words of knowledge. I'm not getting into that. I'm trying even to expound it at this time. Their stabs in the dark are usually of such a nature that they really can't very well go wrong. Somebody out there in my audience of 4.5 million has cancer. I think that's a fairly good bet. I think that's fairly good. A lot of word of knowledge there. Somebody else has a headache and is going to feel better. Yes, I think you can generally take in a large audience that's going to happen. This is supposedly the evidence of the Spirit's working. Again, people think that a hyper-emotionalism is the great evidence of the Spirit working. Do not misunderstand me. When the Holy Ghost comes down, especially, and we see this in a later study, in revival power and revival fullness, there will be a sweeping emotionalism. I am far from advocating a cold, mechanical brand of Christianity. God save us from it. But my friend, I tell you this, the great mark of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that He exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of His glory. He speaks of His agony. He speaks of His finished work. He points to His blood atonement. He draws men to Jesus Christ. And where Jesus Christ is not the very heart and substance of a man's ministry or a church's ministry, it can lay little or no claim to the personal involvement and activity of God the Holy Spirit. The content in His witness is Christ. I'm going to leave that aspect of the subject, except to hammer home this point, that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to witness to His people of Christ and the gospel. Remember those letters from Christ to the churches in Asia Minor, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Remember that the Lord Jesus ended each letter, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." The Spirit is witnessing to the churches. How is He witnessing to the churches? He is witnessing to the churches through this written Word of God. The Lord Jesus has just given epistles to the churches, His inspired Word through John the Apostle. And He is saying, let everyone who has an ear open to what God has to say, let him hear what the Spirit is saying through the written Word of God to the churches. The great ministry of the Holy Spirit, therefore, is to take God's written Word and through that Word speak of Christ to His church. You remember Paul's first great item for prayer for the Ephesian Christians. I may bore some people who listen to me very regularly because this is a text I quote almost ad nauseam. If you don't know what that means, you're maybe better not knowing. But I love it. I think it's one of the most important verses in the Bible, Ephesians 1 and 17. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus. Remember, it was in Ephesus that Paul had fought with wild beasts, as he called them. The church was in danger. There was much opposition. This was the center of the worship of Diana. There were many things for which Paul could have prayed for the church in Ephesus. No doubt they needed money. No doubt they needed more people. No doubt they needed many, many things. But what was the very first thing for which he prayed? That God would give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The most important thing for any Christian, the most important thing, the most pressing need of this church in Greenville, that God would give us the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the witness of the Spirit to the people of God, to take this word and to lead us into the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God's witness to God's people. This is the first aspect of the Spirit's witness. As I say, we'll return to the ramifications of that in later messages. At the moment, he reveals the truth of the gospel, and he produces trust in the gospel. As 1 John 5 and verse 13 makes very clear, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Why does he write them? He writes them that you may indeed be assured, that you may have an absolute trust grounded in Jesus Christ. So the Spirit witnesses to the Christian.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.